than nothing.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Squat Cobbler. I'm Kelly Tuhl at KellyTuhl on Twitter.
And I am Mike at Official Pagan on just about everything.
And we continue through the Coke Alice years as we get into Special Forces. A coked up Alice Cooper's version of what paramilitary would be if they were a guitar rock band, I guess.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're doing a lot of coke, these are the kinds of things you think about.
It's a wide-ranging album. It's very unique in a lot of ways. Alice had eschewed the traditional Alice Cooper makeup for Flesh the Fashion and had gone kind of very new wave look. And he returns to makeup this time through, but a very, it's a much more emaciated Alice. When you see footage from him at this point in time, and his hair's up in a bun like an insane ant, and he's wearing this kind of leather jacket with medals on the front, an American flag on the back. And just some crazy eyebrows painted on and some blotches of white. But he's gone back to makeup, but nothing like we've seen on Alice before. And he's just very, he's very scary looking to me.
So you know, speaking of how he looks and overall aesthetics and things like that, this is one of the few Alice Cooper album covers that I do not like.
Yeah, I'm mixed emotions. So there's a cover coming up I really don't like.
You know, right, I know, and yeah. I was actually going to comment on that. I was like, I know there's one you really hate. I have some stuff to say about that too. Yeah. I don't like that cover either, but I bet it's for a different reason.
Yep. Yeah,
but I don't like this one.
The photo of Alice, and it says actually the credits on the back of the album says lovely photo of Alice by whoever the photographer was. And it is in this kind of makeup and look, it's a little picture, you know, a little portrait picture in the corner of the album with, then you've got kind of a sword cutting across the center and some red, blue and red. So it's, I don't mind this as a cover, but it definitely features a much different looking Alice from there. So that's interesting that this is amongst not your favorites.
Yeah, I just think he has so many strong covers and such great artwork on so many of his projects. This one just kind of feels like an afterthought to me.
The reason I've got to hold this album cover up to a little bit of a special place in my heart is that I've been a big Alice Cooper fan my whole life, but around the time the album Will Not Be Mentioned came out, I started to drift away for a while. I just wasn't kind of tuning in that much to what was going on or taking advantages of seeing him live or any of that. And when one of my daughters was very small, she found the album and walked it over to me and pointed to the picture and she of Alice in the corner, and she's like, "Who's scary lady?" You know, and I said, "That's no lady. That's Alice Cooper, and that's an awesome album. We should listen to it." And that began the ongoing my return to Alice, including getting back to seeing him in concert in A Book of Vengeance at that point in time. So the album cover at least spoke to the youth. got them interested, but it was a little bit more because he looked like a scary lady.
No, it's not even the concept of the cover art. I think it's just more the execution. Like, I get the cross swords and the portrait and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. There's something, like, I wish it was laid out differently or executed slightly differently.
It feels a little slapdash. It does feel kind of like, we need to gotta have this and that, and away you go. Yeah, which is a real shame because, and you see it a little bit on the back of the album, is that there was this kind of skull logo, said Special Forces, Alice Cooper, that was on the concert t-shirts, that was actually kind of a cool graphic that would have been a perfect cover for this album instead of what they did, because this did feel, it didn't feel like they put a ton of effort into this, but.
Right. And again, it's not even like I don't mind the concept of what they were going for. I just wish they'd taken a little more time with it. And I'm not saying it has to be, you know, from the inside again, but they could have taken a little bit more time with it and given us something a little better than this.
And so what we get with Special Forces is if Alice Cooper was in charge of our military and had an endless supply of cocaine, what the world would be like. And here we go. And so we're going to start off with... and this is the way the concert. And I did get to see Alice do Special Forces in concert, and it was actually a pr- pretty enjoyable show. It was a very enjoyable show. The concert begins, the lights are dim, and you hear this helicopter noise coming through. And then the guitarists come out on stage with flashlights, and they're scanning the stage. And all of a sudden, this kind of drumming, a military-ish beat starts up through this whole album. So Alice is not a crooner, but in terms of, I think probably up until we get to Brutal Planet, this is the roughest his voice has ever sounded. Because he just sings through gravel this entire album for the most part. There's one song that's an exception, which we'll talk about, but it's pretty much, you know, it's all of a sudden you get basically Alice snarling and growling through the whole thing, and you get, "Who do you think we are?" And it sounded more like Pirate Alice. Sorry about that. But anyway, more menacing. He less pirate, more menacing when Alice does it. But "Who Do You Think We Are" kicks off the album with basically establishing the Alice Cooper Special Forces, and they're Special Forces in an armored car, and they don't care. I really like this song. He will play it occasionally in concert. This is actually one of the few Alice songs that the album version to me is equal to or better than typically when he does a song live. It's always like a plus five better.
And that's something that we've discussed a few times doing these.
Yeah. This is one that actually the studio recording of it holds up really, really strong. And it actually, even as cool a song as much as I like it, it's not the greatest live song in the world, but it's definitely a driving one. But I'm a big fan of "Who Do You Think We Are." I think it's a great way to start off the album.
I agree. I think it's a good song. I think it's a strong start to the album. Overall, this album, and I'll just get this out of the way now so it doesn't get repetitive saying it song after song, there's a good amount of energy to this album, but it's a different kind of energy. It's not that solid foundation driving rock that the classic Alice Cooper group records had. It's more of like a twitchy, nervous energy, which now makes a lot more sense knowing the backstory of how it was recorded.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, because it is, this album does not lack energy. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it hammers through. And even the ones that aren't necessarily as driving as "Who Do You Think We Are," there's still this energy behind it. But it is not the steamroller of a Killer or Love It to Death. It's a different vibe.
Yeah, and it's energetic and it's driving, but it's not that steady, solid. Steamroller is a great analogy that you used of the classic Alice Cooper group records. It's something really different. And when I was listening to it, I actually, I'll take notes and things like that. I wrote "nervous energy" on it. That's what it reminded me of. Somebody who's really nervous and kind of amped up and bouncing off the walls, which again plays into it being the Coke years.
Yep, absolutely. And that maybe that affects the next choice, which is now Seven and Seven Is, Arthur Lee song that with the chorus "Oom bip bip oom bip bip yeah," again Alice in full snarl mode through there. Another driving song. Again, the pace is set here early, and these are two really strong, good songs. Not songs that would fit in the pantheon of the greatest Alice Cooper songs anyway, but two very solid, quick moving, powerful songs. This one's a cover, Seven and Seven Is. And I enjoy it.
It's another, you know, solid song, not a classic song by any stretch of the imagination. I did know that it was a cover, but to the best of my knowledge, I've never heard the original, so I feel like I can't compare the two. Although overall, I think we both agree that Alice does really good covers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I have heard the original Seven and Seven Is. I do like this version better, Alice's version better, but that's typically going to happen for most of Alice's covers there.
Right.
So then we move on to "Prettiest Cop on the Block," where Davy Johnstone, Elton John's guitarist, makes a reappearance in terms of a songwriting credit. And "Prettiest Cop on the Block," which is, you know, there's been a couple times in previous, it happened on "Lace and Whiskey," where, you know, Alice never enters like full Weird Al Yankovic territory, but occasionally always has humor. There's a lot of humor in the songs. And every once in a while, the humor goes from kind of clever to approaching kind of silly. "Prettiest Cop on the Block" is, again, he's a snarling away through the whole song. But towards the end of it, he goes, but I'm pretty, but I'm mean, but I'm pretty, but I'm mean. And it's cute and it's funny, but it feels a little on the nose. But it's a pretty cool song. And it's about him being this apparently gigantically large, mean, muscly cop who dresses up as a prostitute to try and entrap people. And it seems unlikely, but he declares himself the prettiest cop on the block.
Yeah, I think you really kind of hit it there. It's a little on the nose. I would even say it's kind of campy.
Campy is a good word, because I think, and that happens on a couple of these songs, is that it gets into the camp a little bit more. And this is definitely one. It's redeemed by the fact that it again drives pretty hard, and it's good. It's there is a little, you know, synthesizer presence and all that, so it's not the Detroit rock stuff, but it is driving. It's all of this stuff has more edge than Flush the Fashion did in terms of.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is a pretty rock oriented record. I mean, there's definitely some new wave elements and some other things here and there, but it's overall more of a straightforward rock record than Flush the Fashion was.
Next up, one of my favorites on this album is Don't Talk Old to Me. Again, like the previous songs, another big driving song. This has got a lot of staccato drum to it. It's really moving along, and I have a hard time not liking a song that includes the lyric, "Don't shake that finger in my face no more, because I might bite it off and spit it on the floor," which I think is done again in full Alice snarl, so very menacing. But it's the premise of the song is what you think it's about. Don't talk old to me, and he's definitely serious about it. In fact, towards the end, he says, "That's the last time I'm going to say please," which I found a little ironic, because basically, if I listen to the song, he never says please in the song. So it was the first and last time he says please in there, but he definitely doesn't want you talking old to him. But I enjoy it. It approaches camp. I wouldn't say it's as campy as Prettiest Cop on the Block. It's got a little bit of that to it, but I really enjoy this song. It is cotton candy. It is not a classic, but it makes me smile every time I hear it.
Yeah, you could definitely say it kind of approaches camp a little bit. And one of the things, going back to Prettiest Cop on the Block, one of the things that I do think redeems that song is it is meant to be funny. Like, it is meant to be a humorous song, even though it goes a little too far into that territory. And you made a great analogy of it almost being Weird Al Yankovic, like. But this doesn't go nearly that far. It has a great lyric in it with the line that you quoted. Kind of reminds me of a Bite Your Face Off from Welcome to My Nightmare, the second one, as far as the lyrical approach.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree. I think I'll Bite Your Face Off I like better.
I definitely like I'll Bite Your Face Off better.
And I just think it's a more mature non-coke Dallas at this point in time. Maybe that's why. But
it's a similar type of energy, a similar type of message, I guess, but done better.
Yep. And now we get what is, I believe, depending on how we want to count it, this is, I think you could say, the fourth appearance of Generation Landslide. because we had Generation Landslide on Billion Dollar Babies. And then it was on the Alice Cooper Show, the live album, which we had not talked about because we're going to talk about the live album separately. There was an Alice Cooper's Greatest Hits that was put out that was basically capturing all the Alice Cooper Group songs, and it, of course, was there. So that was the third appearance of it. And now here becomes the fourth appearance of Generation Landslide. Actually, on this album entitled Generation Landslide 81, because there's an additional set of lyrics added at the end of this song that feel pretty tacked on to me. And this was a live recording of Generation Landslide. So head scratcher on kind of multiple fronts. Don't know why, you know, don't exactly know why it's included. It feels like it's just trying to fill the album out and why it's a live cut. And, you know, it's Generation Landslide. It's a good song. I don't think the new lyrics added at the end are particularly profound or a great addition to what was already a very, very strong lyrical song. So, I mean, I can't dislike Generation Landslide, but it is a bit of an irritant to me on this album because I don't know why it's there. It's just a little confusing. And it's great. You know, it's a good song. So I'm okay with it, but I just don't really quite understand why it's there.
It definitely feels out of place here. I'm okay with, you know, adding live songs as bonus tracks and things like that. And in fact, I love live albums and I like compilations as well and songs that'll mix together live tracks and different things like that. But this isn't a compilation. This is a new studio album. So that makes, for me, this kind of falls immediately into at best a bonus track, at worst just filler to pad the album out. And I don't have the running time in front of me, but I know it's not like this isn't a particularly long album. I want to say it was like 35 minutes or somewhere around there. So this definitely feels like it's just padding. What makes it weird to me, okay, if you're going to call it Generation Landslide 81 and it does have those alternate lyrics at the end, then do a studio version of it. If you want to rework the song, it's the fact that it's a live recording that takes it from bonus track to just filler to me. And then what makes it really odd is its positioning of sticking it right in the middle of the album. If this was at the end, I'd be a lot more forgiving of it.
Yeah, I agree. Cause it's just a weird spot.
Yeah. If this was at the end of the record and still a live recording, but at the end of the record, I'd be like, okay, it's just a bonus track to kind of pad out the record a little bit, give you a little extra bang for your buck. That's fine. But this is right in the middle. It's just a live version of the song with some alternate lyrics at the end. It's, you know, when you're on coke, you make these decisions, I guess.
Yes, indeed. So that ends side one. We move over to side two. And so everything's been pretty driving so far. So now we go into Skeletons in the Closet, which is more intended to be kind of a spooky, sinister song. This is non-snarling Alice on this one. I like this song quite a bit. I think it's one of the better songs on there. It is not like anything you've heard on the first side. And it is, spooky kind of a little bit. But I enjoy it. I think it's not going to probably be on my playlist. I'd say safe to say for the final 15 Alice songs that I'll put on my playlist, but I enjoy it.
I like this song. It's one of my favorites on this album. I don't know if I would say favorite yet as we talk them out on the side, but it is actually a favorite of mine. It's probably the song that I've come back to the most on this album. I like the keyboard intro to it. The keyboards throughout the song aren't my favorite, but the intro is really good. It does kind of have a feel of almost something that you would get on one of those Halloween compilation CDs from your local party store.
Yep.
But, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's Alice Cooper's version of that, so you can't completely go wrong.
Yep. Yeah, it's cooled up because it's Alice and doing it, but it kind of fits a little more in that, in the spirit of that. And it is kind of a holiday album feel to it for Halloween.
Yeah.
Then we go to You Want It, You Got It. For me, this song doesn't distinguish itself much for me one way or another. It moves along at an okay pace. It's got a similar feel to some of the earlier songs on the album. I don't dislike it, but I kind of, the best I can say is it's okay for me.
Yeah, this is one of the weaker spots for me. It doesn't really have much in the way of lyrics. And again, one of the things that we like about Alice overall is his songwriting, and we like his lyrics, as we've discussed before. And this just doesn't have a lot to keep your interest in it, which is weird to say about an Alice Cooper song. And it also, at this point, and re-listening to it, this happened to me. This is when, like, I'm enjoying myself and really liking the album up until this point. But this is where I realized, like, okay, this song's kind of just filler. It's similar to what we've already heard on the album. It doesn't have much going on lyrically. And we're on track 7 now. So you have this filler track. You had a live version of a previously released song and a cover song already. And I feel like when you go back and look at the record in those terms, like, it starts to kind of not hold up as well to me.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one when I rank it, because as we're going through here, it's hard to say, boy, this is an amazing song. This is an amazing song. There's something about this collection of songs that I do find kind of endearing, and I really do enjoy. But it's not because there are these incredible moments. There's just something about it collectively. This is where I was like, so we get to the rankings where I'm struggling mightily, because I will put this album. This is one of the Alice albums I listen to the most. And so that's where I'm struggling. It's like, wow, I make this choice often, in terms of what I want to listen to. And it's things, cause Who Do You Think We Are is super cool. Don't Talk Old to Me, we've come through, and there's a couple more things coming up here, but then I tend to skip through Generation Landslide.
Right. And that's the thing, like listening to this album as a whole, I really like it. If I were to listen to the individual songs, there's honestly not anything on here that's that strong. Like nothing on here would even be considered, honestly, for my playlist. But I do like it as a whole. Like I can put on the album and listen to the whole album. But then when I really get critical of it, it becomes, okay, we're on track number 7. This song's kind of filler. We have a live version of Generation Landslide that's definitely filler. And we have a cover song. And it's not that I don't like the cover song. It's just, all right, we're only 7 songs in so far, and barely more than half of them are actual, like, real songs.
Fair point. Fair point. So we then move into You Look Good in Rags, which is, again, it's in the upper portions of songs for me on this album. It's not overly clever lyrically, but it does. It's got kind of a really nice guitar hook in it. Towards the end, you get this kind of the whole group kind of going rags, 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 rags. It's kind of a very kind of cool little different sound there. And it features what I believe is the first, I'd have to go back, because I think Tony O'Kay actually was the first person to use an automatic rifle, or not a bolt action rifle, being kind of locked and unlocked as a sound component in a song. So Tonio has done that, and You Look Good in Rags towards the end, because again, this is the Alice Cooper Special Forces, our new military thing. I'm not really sure why we get the bolt action rifle being loaded and unloaded in You Look Good in Rags, but we do, and it sounds pretty cool, and so I like it. So I think it's a fun song and one of my favorites on this album.
Yeah, it is a fun song. It's a song that I really like. Again, probably not my favorite. But I wonder, so you brought up a good point about the sound of the bolt. Do you think that little things like that were added in just to make it more of a concept record than it really was?
Yeah, I don't know if it was stuck in as they were actually putting the song together, where it got a little bit later, because it does feel pretty organic in the song. In terms of where it goes in, again, why, in terms of the story that's being told in the song and all that, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. This is a tough one, because while it probably doesn't do much better job than Lace and Whiskey at staying on a theme, beyond the fact that all these songs are performed by Alice and his little army of crazy people, and that is very consistent feel through the whole thing, and there's a sinister thing going on through all of this. So I think in some ways these songs make sense together in terms of the sound and the performance. I think there's not really any sort of thread of a story or things there. So I do think that they probably were looking for opportunities where they could kind of tap into, hey, here's Alice, the amazing military leader.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's as bad as Lace and Whiskey, but I do think there are certain things that do kind of feel not even forced in, but only added to strengthen this military sort of vibe to it.
So then we come to Your Movie. I'm going to be super interested to your thoughts on this, because Your Movie is my favorite song on Special Forces, just ahead of Who Do You Think We Are. And this is, you know, what's kind of been established is this is, and it played out in the concert, is Alice is the leader of this paramilitary rock band who's going to play for you. This is basically Alice as Patton, somewhat addressing his, and it is, you know, the most pompous, arrogant, overconfident guy. And it's a spoken, it's in a kind of very affected voice, very affected voice is how Alice delivers what are basically spoken lyrics over the song. It's got kind of a very synthy, it's got a good rhythm and pace to it, but it's kind of, it snakes along through there. So it's not like a rock song per se, but it's Alice talking about how he fearlessly walks into battle with a shine on his boots and his teeth, never flinches, never blinks, never rattled. His blood is like ice underneath. And he's going through, and there's just a couple moments in this where, you know, he's just so full of himself because, you know, there's a line in there where he's like, move aside, mere drop of water, let the ocean pass, and get the sense he really believes that. And towards the end, you get a little bit of I'm really quite a guy. And it is a little more over the top humor. It's clearly intended to be funny and the delivery of it. But I just truly, and that's another song that really makes me smile. And this one is a candidate to potentially make it up to my top 15.
This is probably my favorite song on the album, only instead of it being sort of almost neck and neck with Who Do You Think We Are, for me, it's neck and neck with Skeletons in the Closet, but it is probably my favorite. I don't know that I would go as far as, for me right now, none of these are in danger of making it on the playlist. It is my favorite song on here, though. It isn't quite as clever as some of the Alice stuff we've seen before, but I feel like that's kind of the overall thing with this record. Like, this album is still a win. It still works, but it's a sloppy win, if that makes sense.
No, I would agree.
Yeah, like, we have a lot of filler. It's not quite as clever as we're used to. There's that kind of it's energetic, but it's like a weird, different energy. It's not as steady and sure-footed as we're used to. So it's still a win. I really like this record. It's a sloppy win for me.
I think it's a great way to describe it. Because it wraps up at the end with Vicious Rumors, which feels like it could have been on Flush the Fashion, because I think we're getting back into a little bit more of the Thomas Baker synth work. There's still some very strong guitar stuff in here. Dwayne Hitchings co-wrote a vast majority of this album with Alice, and there's a guitar riff in this that he was particularly proud of, that he worked into the show every place he could, even when they weren't doing the song Vicious Rumors. It's a nice little lick. It's pretty cool. But it's back to, again, kind of that driving, a little more back to the military stuff, and kind of painting a little bit of the picture of that. And then as it winds down, we get a reprise of Who Do You Think We Are? And finishes off with the helicopter noises that began the album, finish the album out, because the tail end of Who Do You Think We Are overlays the end of Vicious Rumors and wraps up the album. It's a good, you know, I like it. It's a good song. As we said about a number of these, it's like it doesn't do a lot to distinguish itself across his overall canon, but it's a good driving song.
Yeah, and that's how I feel about most of this record. Like, they're good songs. They work well together. For me, none of this is going on the playlist, just spoiler alert for anybody. In fact, I don't even know that I would personally give serious consideration to any of them. A little bit to your movie, a little bit to Skeletons in the Closet, but the way that it's going right now, thinking about my playlist, they don't stand a chance of making it on there. Still, though, I like this record.
Yeah, and then what's not on there, so if you bought the vinyl when it came out, on the back cover it listed all the songs, and we've gone through 10 songs. On the album, there are 11 songs listed, and the last song was Look at You Over There Ripping the Sawdust from My Teddy Bear, which I made an assumption was just a joke. It's like, oh, haha, you know, the song's not on there, but it was because sounds like a really crazy song title, but it turns out it is a song. It did make its way out eventually to when they re-released Special Forces in 2010, They included a demo version of it, and that same demo version's included in the Alice Cooper compilation, Life and Crimes of Alice Cooper. And it was removed from the album because it didn't fit in to the overall theme, which I would agree with. it's probably, it could have fit more with one of the next upcoming two albums, particularly Zipper Catches Skin, because anything could go on Zipper Catches Skin, because I have no idea how it's just this craziness that we will talk about the next time we talk about Alice. But it's a strange song, but it's not present on this album, and so should not affect our ratings.
Yes. When you heard the song, though, did you enjoy it?
Not as much as I thought I would, because, boy, is that a title. And I said, man, this is going to be a song that I'm going to totally love. And I'm not a huge fan of it, which is much to my disappointment, because I really wanted to love a song called Look at You Over There Ripping the Sawdust from My Teddy Bear. But I'm not a big fan of the song, actually.
So it was one of those, like, smile situations?
And only in reading the title, really, because the delivery is just one of the few Alice songs that I just kind of don't care for, and it upsets me because it's such a wonderful title. I want to love this song, but it's like, eh, I don't really even like it that much. All righty, so oh goodness, I had not thought about talk about an album that will present an interesting challenge to say. Special Forces is not full of a ton of Pat Boone material in my mind, because I don't see him singing about "Don't shake that finger in my face no more, because I might bite it off and spit it on the floor." That's right. Not a Pat Boone mojo thing. So, what's your Pat Boone song for Special Forces?
So this one's a little bit tough. It's either going to be Skeletons in the Closet or You Want It, You Got It. Skeletons in the Closet has that Halloween party vibe that I could see Pat Boone getting into, but I could also see him saying it's a little too dark for him. So I think he'd go, You Want It, You Got It.
So I want to pick Skeletons in the Closet to just partially ruin that song for you, you know, because he would destroy, it would be horrible. His version of Skeletons would take what is actually a very cool song delivered by Alice. I think it's the same thing's true for You're a Movie, that his execution on either of those two songs would be horrific. But I'm gonna go with you. I think You Want It, You Got It would be, Pat would think he's pretty cool singing it.
Yeah. I picture him in like a sequins suit doing like a Vegas style show version of that song.
Yep. With a whiskey on the rocks in his hand, kind of shaking it at the crowd. As You Want It, You Got It. Yep. So I'm with you on that. That's a good choice. So Pat, we're rounding out your Alice Cooper cover album, and you're going to be doing You Want It, You Got It off of Special Forces.
He should really do this.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
We're taking the time, putting the work in for him. All he has to do is go and record it.
Yep. Yeah, it's all the work has been done at this point in time.
Right.
Okay, so this is, I'm going to have to ask that you go first, because I'm still not prepared to put a number on this one. I might just not have this on the list and fold it off to the side and say, I don't know. I can't decide.
Well, with your willy-nilly list making.
Yeah, this is. I might as well continue the Dada-esque approach to a list that I take. For you, Mike, Love It to Death sounds like it's pretty safe this week.
Yeah, Love It to Death is pretty safe. All right, so I'm going to start at the bottom and work my way up. Obviously, it's better than Pretty's For You and Easy Action. I like it better than Alice Cooper Goes to Hell. So now it becomes, do I like it better than Lace and Whiskey? I'm going to say yes, I do, because I think it's more consistent than Lace and Whiskey is. And I just have more fun with it than I do with Lace and Whiskey. Now, Muscle of Love, while I think that is a weak spot for the Alice Cooper group, barring the first two records, which don't exist, I don't know that there's anything Alice Cooper group good on this, and that includes the live version of an Alice Cooper group song. So I'm probably going to put it between Muscle of Love and Lace and Whiskey.
Sounds good. I'm gonna do the same thing, because it will nestle in more towards the bottom half of the list than the top. And again, it zips right past our floor of Producer Your Easy Action. To me, easily gets past Lace and Whiskey on my list as the next one there, and Goes to Hell. And so it basically, you know, Muscle of Love has continued to be this inflection point for us. It's like most of the ones are coming, it's like, okay, is it, do I like it better or worse than that? I originally thought, given the amount of times I've listened to this album and kind of how the special place in my heart it has, that I said, boy, this is actually going to be, this is going to be up there pretty far. And then thinking about Flush the Fashion, it's like, well, I think I like it better than Flush the Fashion. But when you kind of go through, like we are here, and breaking it down, I have a hard time doing it. I think I get hung up on Muscle of Love. I'm going to go where you're going, just below Muscle of Love. I'm going to go just above it, barely. After Muscle of Love comes Schools Out for me. It's not going past Schools Out. And I think it's just mostly because it's hard for me to entirely explain, but this concept of Alice thinking he's in charge of the special forces and what that would be if it came out. There's just something that's kind of appealing and intriguing to me. And with Who Do You Think We Are and You're a Movie, Skeletons in the Closet, and Don't Talk Old to Me, there's enough, there's a collection of enough stuff there that's okay, you're going to inch ahead just because it's an album that that I listen to more than Muscle of Love. And the Pointer Sisters are not on it, and I think that that's another vote in its favor, because
That's absolutely true.
Pointer Sisters have no business in Alice Cooper's paramilitary Coke Army. So I'm going to put it just above Muscle of Love.
I completely understand that. What edges out Muscle of Love just slightly for me, because I do think that there are songs on this I like better than songs on Muscle of Love. It's just that, especially Talking Out, I definitely think there's a fair amount of filler on this record.
There is. Because you go back to Muscle of Love, and forget where you landed on it, but you know, to me, Woman Machine was always that felt a little filler to me off of Muscle of Love, but this has multiple candidates, particularly the live track and a couple others that are like, yeah, I don't really know why you're there.
Yeah, okay. You have a live track, you have a cover song, and then a song that isn't really so much a song.
So this is fun. I was very interested. This, like I said, this is one of my favorite Alice albums. I think when you kind of objectively look at where it falls in terms of quality, I think we've got it about in the right space. But it's just, like I said, there's just some things about the overall concept that I truly, truly enjoy. So it's a fun little moment. And like I said, he's just kind of gravelly through this whole thing, which is strange because he was not particularly that way on Flush the Fashion. And then we're going to move into possibly the strangest Alice Cooper album of all, you know, if we ignore the first two. Next, a real interesting ride, a little ditty called Zipper Catches Skin. That's going to be an interesting conversation because it's a weird one. It's Alice like you've never heard Alice before. That's for sure. It's kind of like all over the place. So that's going to be a fun conversation next time we talk about Alice. And I'm going to have to start my work now to figure out what Pat Boone would sing off of Zipper Catches Skin. I'll have to think about that one. But we will talk about that in a couple shows. And appreciate everyone who's been listening to our reviews. Welcome your input as well. And if there's an Alice Cooper album coming up down the road that you've got opinions on that you'd like to be able to share those, we would love to have you on. Mike and I are still working through some problem albums coming up, or a problem album coming up for me, how we're going to handle it through that. That's actually, you know, we're getting closer to it. So we'll see how it goes. So on that, I'm going to say thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
And there's a lot of Scooby-Doo porn in general that I didn't know existed until the last couple weeks.
You must be so proud.
I'm just proud of myself that I got through my entire recommendation without using any objectionable language.
Okay. Want to be cool like Alice Cooper, do coke.